Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The word repent just means to change, means a change of mind. So your mind has been set against Christ, your mind has been set against his salvation, your mind changes. And with the changing of your mind, there is going to be a changing of your life that will follow. There will be transformation that will come.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Acts. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Acts, chapter 26, verse 18, in a message titled, The Purpose, Promise, and Power of the Gospel. Now here's Pastor Brian.
The state of the world, the state of everybody outside of Christ, is that of blind and in darkness and bound by Satan. The solution to that, the liberation that is available for that, is the gospel. God wants to use every one of us to set people free through the spreading of the gospel. And so we need to recognize that that's the case. We need to recognize that this is how it happens. And of course, one of the ways that would be, I think, good is to just think about how it happened with our own lives. You know, sometimes we forget, and you know, there's a tendency with us as Christians, I think, to sometimes just make things complicated. And the gospel going forth, God has just made it so simple. Just talk to people about Jesus. Just tell them. And you can even start with just tell them your story. Tell them what you did. Or tell them what you were like. Tell them how you became who you are today versus who you were before. And you know, especially when you meet new people or people that maybe you haven't known for a while, you know what you find with people? You find generally that everybody's kind of curious about, well, who are you and what do you do? And we've all got things we do and this is who we are. But you know, there's always in those moments an opportunity to just include that, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, and, you know, I guarantee that'll get a conversation, well, it'll either shut it down entirely, or it'll ramp up the opportunity. You know, sometimes it shuts it down. I've had many times where, you know, I'm having a great conversation with somebody, they ask me, what do I do? And, oh, well, I'm a pastor and a Bible teacher. It's like, oh, okay, we're done, you know. Thank you. Don't want to hear any of that stuff. So let's not talk anymore. But then there's also those times where people say, really? Well, you don't look like a preacher. Okay. I think that's probably a compliment. So I'll take that. I don't know what preachers look like, but then, you know, you just take the opportunity. And you know what I do almost all the time? I just kind of tell just various versions of my own story. Various, and what I mean by various versions is sometimes it's more in depth and detailed, and other times it's more brief. But it's the point is that Christ came and changed my life. And you know, here's the thing that I want us to all realize today. That right there, when you do that, you are putting forth the greatest power in the world. That's the greatest power. That is the only power that can raise a person from the dead. It's the only power that can break the power of Satan. It's the only power that can open somebody's eyes to reality. You are exerting the greatest power possible when you do that. Now, you might be thinking, oh, come on, you know, I've done that a lot of times. It didn't really feel that powerful. It doesn't matter if it feels powerful to you. That's where we get hung up, because oftentimes it doesn't feel powerful from our standpoint, and we walk away thinking, man, I really failed because, you know, that was just such a bad effort at sharing the gospel with somebody. But listen, remember this. the gospel. Paul said this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation. Not my presentation of it, not my clever way of communicating it, or my humorous way, or my winsome way. All of those things are fine. I would much prefer, from my own standpoint, to be winsome and clever and brilliant when I share the gospel. But you know, it's not contingent on that for it to have its impact, because the power is in the gospel itself. That's what we have to realize. And if we realize that the power's in the gospel itself, it will make it much easier for us to just get it out there, because then we just trust that, okay, Lord, I just threw that seed out. You know, sometimes after I have an opportunity to share with somebody, I walk away and this is my prayer. Lord, I pray that you would bless my feeble effort to get the gospel to this person, because from my standpoint, it just seems so feeble. It just felt so lame. You know, it's like, why did I say that? How come I didn't say this? What was I thinking? Why wasn't I thinking? Oh, you know, all of that stuff goes on in your head. But here's the great news. It's not dependent on you. The only part we play is just get the word out there. And of course, we can pray afterward that the Holy Spirit will follow up. But remember, it's the gospel itself that's the power. So as Paul goes out, commissioned by Jesus, he's going to open people's eyes. He's going to turn them from darkness to light. He's going to turn them from the power of Satan to God. How's he going to do that? He's going to get up and tell people about Christ. He's going to tell people that Christ is the Savior of the world, that he died on a cross, that he rose again from the dead, and that he's alive now, and he'll forgive your sins. And then he's going to trust God to apply that. And I'll tell you, it never ceases to amaze me how that simple message can just literally impact somebody to the point of total transformation of their lives. You know, I've told this story before. I have a friend, he's a pastor out in Fontana. I was with him yesterday, so it's fresh on my mind. David Zamora, we did a film, The Neighborhood. Maybe some of you saw that film. And David was highlighted in that film along with a few other guys. And they were gangsters. They were criminals. They were, you know, very evil guys. And they all came to Christ. These four guys, or four guys in the film, and they're all serving Jesus as pastors today. But I'll never forget when David originally told me his testimony. He's in prison. He's got the three strikes out thing. And, you know, it's just like he's never going to get out of prison. And he's got this guy in his prison cell with him who's sharing the gospel with him. And the guy, you know, faithfully shares with him, and he just continues to push back. And I want to hear that. I don't need that. And so on. And then, but then there comes this one moment where this guy actually says to him, he says, you know, this is the last time I'm going to tell you this. After this, I'm never going to talk to you about this again. And he just walks him through the basics. Jesus died for your sins. He rose from the dead. You need to give your life to him. You need to surrender to him. And so as he tells him this last thing, and then the guy says to him this, he says, you know, if there's one thing that you would want God to do for you, if there's one thing that you could ask God to do for you, what would it be? And my friend David, he said, I would ask God to take away my heroin addiction. And the guy said, okay, well, then you ask him. And so they, you know, guy went back to his part of the cell or whatever it was. And David said that night he said this. He said, Jesus, if you're the person that this guy and my mom have been telling me you are, then I ask you to save me. I ask you to take away my heroin addiction. And if you do, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And if you don't, I never want to hear your name again. Fell asleep, woke up the next morning, and has never touched a needle since that day. And was, you know, finally, you know, let out of prison and, you know, has won the governor's award for rehabilitation and, you know, just doing all of this stuff. I was at the men's apologetics conference out at his church. And coming from that gang world, of course, you know, God oftentimes uses people with the kind of people, you know, that they're relate to and his background. So you go out to this event and you've got all of these guys, you know, and they're all just fresh out of the joint, you know, that's prison, that's their term, you know. And you know, meet these guys, they're full of love, you know, they're hugging you, and then they walk away and, you know, you say, yeah, that guy spent 25 years for murder, you know, and this and that, and you're like, wow. There's no explanation for the transformation in these guys' lives apart from the gospel. But my point in telling that story was the simplicity of it. The guy, it's just a very simple thing. Pastor Greg Laurie has written a book. I got a copy and I read it. And the book is called Jesus Revolution. And it's kind of a history of what happened here back in the 60s and 70s. And, you know, it's Pastor Chuck and Lonnie Frisbee and Greg and some of the other players there. And he's talking about that period of time when there was just this massive outpouring of God's Spirit in Southern California. And they were baptizing about 900 new converts, most of them young people, every month for a few years. It was just a crazy, crazy time. But one of the things that stood out to me as I was reading through the book, and I know it well, I know Greg well, we're great friends, I know his story very, very well, and I know the story because I lived it as well, part of it. But as I'm reading through it, and he's giving different examples of conversions that took place, the one thing that's really standing out to me was the simplicity of it all. How, you know, back in those days, it was just that very simple message that, and people were just going everywhere talking about Jesus, how he saved them, and how if you'd like to know Jesus, here, you know, just believe that he died for your sins, that he rose again from the dead. And tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people came to faith at that time. But there's one story that Greg told there that I know because I've heard him tell it many times before, but I think it really illustrates the point of how the power is in the gospel, not in the presentation. Now, of course, today, Greg is an amazing, you know, when it comes to proclaiming, preaching, presenting the gospel, you know, he does that just extraordinarily. But he tells the story of his very first time of sharing the gospel with somebody and getting to lead them to Christ. And basically, this is how it went. He went down to the beach. He knew he had to witness. He just felt compelled, but he didn't really want to. So he was down there. He was hoping that nobody would really, you know, ask him what he was doing down there. But so he goes up to a lady who's, you know, a middle-aged lady, he says, on the, you know, she's there on the beach. And he says, you know, would you like to hear the gospel? And he's hoping she says no, so he can just leave and, you know, get out of there. And she says, yeah, sure. And so he said, when she said yes, he just, at that point, he was frozen. He didn't, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? I don't even know what to tell her. So he has a tract in his hand, and he said he literally just began to read it word for word. So he's sitting there, the woman's looking at him, and he's reading the tract to her, and every now and again looking at her, then going back down and reading. And at the end of the tract, it asked this question. He's just reading through. At the end of it, it asked this question: is there any good reason why you would not want to accept Jesus today? And as he reads that, the woman says no. And all of a sudden, he's like, wait, what did you say? And she says, no, there's no good reason why I shouldn't accept Jesus today. And he goes, wait, do you mean you want to accept Jesus? Yeah, I want to accept Jesus. So then he said, okay. So then in the track, it tells you how to do that. So he just reads to her how to do it. And he said, when it was all said and done, she was just sitting there weeping. And she said, she just felt that, you know, God touched her at that moment. Now, I mean, to me, that it's just, you know, it's a funny story, but it also illustrates the point that the power is in the message. See, God's word is like, you know, like a seed. You look at a seed and you have, I mean, if you just look at it on the surface, what does it look? It doesn't look like anything. But there's all of this information in the seed. And if you plant that seed in the ground, that seed is going to spring forth into life. All that information is going to come up in a plant or in a tree or something like that. And the gospel, listen, the gospel is the seed of God's life. And when God's life gets planted in a heart, it springs up in a person's life. And that's called conversion. That's called salvation. That's called being born again. And so, hey, you know, if it's just reading a tract or telling your story, or you're more developed in your understanding and you're able to just walk somebody through the gospel, and that's what we should aim for. We want to grow and learn and be able to communicate. But whatever it is, the important thing is to get the message out. And that's what Jesus sent Paul to do. You're going to set people free from the power of the devil. How are you going to do that? You're going to do it through the gospel. And that's what we have been called to do today. So the gospel is the means by which people come out of the darkness of sin and out from under the power and dominion of Satan. That's the means, and it happens through them believing. So really quickly, what is the gospel? Let's just be crystal clear. The gospel, remember, means good news. It is the good news that God has provided a way for our sins to be forgiven, for us to be reconciled to him, and for us to become his sons and daughters and heirs of his eternal kingdom. That's what the gospel has done. It's provided that for us. But what is it that Jesus died for our offenses and that he was raised so we could be justified? That's the gospel right there. Jesus died for our sins and he rose again so we could be justified. And the moment a person believes that in their heart, that instant a person is translated, is moved out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, salvation is instantaneous. Conversion is instantaneous. Regeneration is instantaneous. These are all words that basically mean the same thing. But there follows what we call sanctification. There's the developing, there's the maturing in my Christian life. But that's not becoming a Christian. That's becoming more like Christ. But becoming a Christian or being born of the Spirit, that happens the moment a person in sincerity says, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe Christ is the Savior. I believe that he rose from the dead, and I receive that. That's what happens there. So Paul, as he finishes up with Agrippa here, he says that when Christ gave him this commission, he says that he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but he declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting of repentance. And so that's what happens. Repenting, the word repent just means to change, means a change of mind. So your mind has been set against Christ. Your mind has been set against his salvation. Your mind changes. And with the changing of your mind, there is going to be a changing of your life that will follow. There will be transformation that will come. And, you know, more and more, we need to get back to the realization of that power in the gospel. I think sometimes we've been so, you know, of course we expect change and we look for change and we know that change will come if there's true life there. But sometimes we put too much of an emphasis on change too quickly, failing to realize that sometimes the change is progressive. And what happens, I've seen this so many times, a person has a moment where they really believe the gospel and something happens. They sense that something's happened, but then they go on for a time where it's like, I don't know, you know, somebody looking on, like, I'm not sure if anything happened. It doesn't, it kind of, you know, they're kind of back over here and they're wobbling here with this and that. But then, you know, suddenly they just take off and they begin to soar. That's a process that I think is very real for people. I talked to a 21-year-old kid yesterday, and basically when he told me his story of kind of like a three-year journey, and I said, so when did you come to faith? And he said, well, you know, I've just really begun to really follow the Lord, but then when I was 17 in high school, this happened, and I prayed this prayer, and I really felt like something lifted off of me, but then I kind of drifted and wandered around, and but now, I don't know, something happened, and God just pulled me in, and now here I am, and I want to serve him, and all of this stuff. And I'm thinking, I have heard this story 1,000 times. The life of God was planted in there, and a real thing took place, and then through a process of hit and miss kind of thing, but God was at work the whole time bringing them through. And I'm saying this because I think sometimes we, in our impatience, we pressure people that, you know, right this minute, you got to do this. And then, you know, they don't do it. And then, but we haven't really even let the seed really take root. And that is because, I think for pastors, that's because we're not really trusting God a lot of times. We're trusting more in our process or more in our program or more in our idea of how the whole thing works. And I just find that more and more as I go on in life and in ministry, you know, the gospel is the power. And when the gospel gets in there, the transformation will come. If there's never transformation, then the gospel never was planted. But if the gospel really was planted, we'll know because transformation will come. But it might not come in the exact time frame that we think. And so let's just close with this. Jesus sent Paul to bring good news to the people of his day. And Jesus is sending you, and he's sending me, to bring good news to the people of our day. And let's ask God to help us to step out in faith and to share the gospel. Let's do that. Look, I've said this many times before, but this is the answer. This is the answer to everything, really. I mean, it starts here. And if it's family members, if it's friends, if it's coworkers, if it's the community you live in, if it's the country that we're in, whatever it is. The problem is people are blind, they're in darkness, and they're in the captivity of Satan. The solution is the gospel. And once the gospel gets in there, everything changes. Changes for that person, and then inevitably it seems to affect the people around them, and that impact can go on and on and on and on and on. And who would ever even guess in so many cases the far-reaching impact that one life can have by receiving the gospel and then simply by sharing the gospel.
For the month of February, Back to Basics Radio is continuing to focus on resources for apologetics. And this month, we're offering the book titled Cold Case Christianity by J. Warner Wallace. Have you ever been skeptical about the claims of the gospel? What evidence exists that Jesus rose from the dead? And how can Jesus' claims about eternal life be substantiated? And how can we answer those questions over 2,000 years after the fact? In his book, Cold Case Christianity, a homicide detective investigates the claims of the gospel. J. Warner Wallace presents step by step on how to think like a detective and then apply those reasoning skills to the claims of the gospels. Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, This book will help you to examine the Gospels in order to help you evaluate its claims. So we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at brianbroderson.uk. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0208-466-5365. Or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Acts. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.